On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Tall Can Sports number 161 on a rough Sunday for a lot of people who probably engaged in some summer shenanigans during last night's festivities. We've got on the line with me our self-proclaimed fight guy, Matty Lang. How are you today, my friend? You holding up all right?
I am also very rough right now, my friend.
I think there's probably a few people in that boat today, man. And you know, it was already, you know, for you and I, who, and you more than me, certainly, but who are already kind of into the fight thing, right? And you're used to UFC cards that don't go live on pay-per-view till 10 or whatever. You know it's going to be a late night, right? But, man, they got to that main event, and they're delaying, and they're delaying, and they're delaying because I guess some of the cable systems in the U.S. had gone down on the pay-per-view side. So,
all down, yeah.
Yeah, so they were trying to hold off as long as they could. And so, you know, it was probably... fight itself didn't start till probably 10 to 12 maybe. I didn't really pay attention, I guess, but it was late.
It was a late one, and
all that means is you got time to get a few in, right? Before still gosh, throwing them back.
that's the only problem with it, right? And boxing's notorious for kind of pushing off that main event anyways, right? Because they want those buys to start coming in.
Yeah.
They know people are going to start buying it late in the evening. Now, we didn't talk about this earlier, but did you order it off your off pay-per-view? Did you have it on UFC TV? How did you watch it?
I was going to ask you the same question here. This is my first thing on the checklist. Yeah, we did it on cable. I've been Roger's getting a phone call from me in the morning. I am canceling my cable. I'm finally going forward and cutting the cord. But yeah. I held off this long because I wanted to order the fight on cable. I know UFC Fight Pass had it, and there was some other ways of getting it online, but I guess a few of those crashed as well. The demand was just off the charts. What about you? What were you doing?
So I dumped Rogers a couple months back and went with a smaller provider, but they don't have pay-per-view.
Okay.
So, you know, no big deal because most people have smart TVs, et cetera, nowadays.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
So I decided to buy the fight way back on Tuesday. They were throwing in UFC Fight Pass for a month as well.
Oh, nice.
As kind of a bonus. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll grab it online. And don't get me wrong. Picture was amazing. HD sound was good. Yep. You didn't know that it was off online, right?
Sure.
Like, we just hooked it up to the TV. 9 o'clock comes. So we're sitting here around my house. We're watching the prelims on Fox. And or I guess TSN here in Canada,
sure,
who had the stream, and we're watching it for 2 hours. Okay, the fights are gonna start. Throw on the website, crashed.
Oh shit. Because all of a sudden everyone's coming on, right?
I figure, you know, what did they have? Have you seen the numbers yet? I figured it was gonna be about 5 million buys.
Yeah. The estimates are not in yet. They're saying, or the final numbers are not in yet. They're saying probably Tuesday for final numbers, but they were predicting anywhere from, I guess the record from the Floyd Pacquiao fight was 4.1 or 4.2, and they were expecting to maybe get up close to 5 for this one. So
yeah, I think I saw like the Vegas line was like, are they going to get 4.9 or above?
Okay.
You know, which I was going to take. And yesterday, you know, around 8 o'clock when I went to throw my money down, it was gone.
Okay.
So I figured they was going to be above.
Like, they must have known. Yeah, cut it off. Yep.
Like, we're going to lose money. Let's get off of this, right?
Yeah. So,
that being said, with all the smart TVs and Apple TV and Roku, that sort of stuff.
All of that.
You know, a lot of people aren't doing pay-per-view anymore. They're basically accessing it online nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to figure at least, you know, 3 million people were, or at least 2.5-3 million people were trying to get it online, basically.
I would assume
and
so.
And the website just went down, so... you know, I put one of my buddies in charge of just hitting the refresh button every couple minutes, right?
It's like a Ticketmaster morning.
Kind of, right? Like, yeah. Hey, this is your job. Here's your drink. Here's your job. So he was going at it, and about 9:35. So we missed one fight,
right?
That nobody knew who was fighting anyway, so it was no big deal.
Yep.
But a couple people, even in my condo building, were messaging me who knew I had the fight as well. And we're going, hey, we can't get the fight. Do you got the fight yet?
Right.
And if you looked at Twitter, it was just a firestorm of people. I think, I can't remember if it was off air or on air, I mentioned to you, I know somebody with some inside stuff on UFC, and I was talking to her today. She kind of reached out to me to just, you know, ask how my viewing was.
Sure.
And I said, yeah, you know, 9:30, 9:35, we got on, and she goes, oh my gosh, we were up all night. We didn't even get to enjoy the fight because they were just going in and out. So you were lucky that yours didn't crash again.
Wow.
So apparently a lot of people missed out on bits and pieces of the fight all throughout the night. Maybe just depending where you were, who your cable provider or internet provider was, they were just completely overloaded, which is kind of unfortunate.
Well, for sure. And they say that's even... like, you think of cable, right? It's old, steady. It's been around forever. You've got the technology. And even the cable systems were crashing. And I think what you're talking about in terms of people at the last minute ordering it online, that's happening on, you know, I wasn't going to do it, but it's Saturday and we've been drinking since 6. Ah, fuck it. I got $100 for this, right? And so people call up. And when you're, like, you even an average, like, even a kind of a good boxing card will draw far more pay-per-view numbers than a really good UFC card, right? So it's not like they've never seen this before, but the stuff I was reading today said it was literally for stuff like this, for stuff like Pacquiao, for you just can't staff it properly to properly handle the number of people that are going to call at the last second. And the systems, they're just not ready for it. And a UFC fight pass, they're just not ready for it, right? It just gets slammed. So
there's no way. No way they could have...
like, I bought it. I thought I was being responsible by getting on. I ordered it about 2 o'clock on Saturday. You ordered it on Tuesday and still ran into trouble. But I just didn't want any part of the actual. I didn't want to be clicking through and trying to figure it all out as it was happening, right? I didn't want to be part of that last second barrage.
100%.
Yeah. So jumped on and we didn't have any problem at all. But I'll level with you. We didn't watch anything other than the title fight, the co-main event, right? Between Davis and. You'd know better than me. I can't remember the other guy's name, but
yeah, Gavante and the guy he beat up.
Right. none of us here were boxing people, right? This was a spectacle. Mm-hmm. We know Connor, we know Floyd, and that's why we bought the fight for. And you know, you're probably not going to get value for it in terms of $100 for one fight, but that's what we were here for. So we turned it on around 10 o'clock or whatever, and went back. Everyone was kind of kicking drinks around and whatever. No one was really near the TV. And then we went over at co-main time and watched that. And then obviously for the big fight, but we didn't get a single blip. It didn't black out, nothing. Like, it ran perfect for us. So,
you know what? I mean, that being said, as we've talked about, I mean, we both like watching fights and stuff. And I've always had people, you know, everybody always needs somewhere to watch big fights, right? So I always kind of offer my place up because I've got a big kind of open concept space. Sure. So it's kind of good for viewing. I had a bunch of guys over last night. Not quite as many as I had for the, I'm thinking the first Diaz McGregor fight.
Right.
And now that card was stacked, right? Head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
Even that card, You get a bunch of people in a room. Everybody's socializing. It's really just a gathering.
That's what it is. It's a party.
And then the same thing. It was the same idea. Even though I wanted to watch the fights, you're not really watching the fights. You're kind of looking up to see how things are going. And then for us, it was until that Miesha Tate Holly Holm fight. And then it was like, oh, yeah. Oh shoot, now we got to pay attention.
Right.
And everybody kind of quiets down and starts to watch the fight. And then the Diaz fight came on and everybody settles down. Same thing with this, right? If it hadn't been for me really in the room saying, hey, everybody check out this Gervonta kid.
Yeah.
Gervonta Davis, who's signed to Under Armour, who's an absolute beast. Looks like he definitely had sponsorship from OVO, which I thought was kind of...
That's cool.
To me, I'm like, pretty ballin', man. Not bad, kid. Some of the girls who were here at the event last night were like, why is he dressed like a Smurf? Because he had that kind of like funny blue thing going on in his shorts, right?
Yeah.
But so, I mean, like we kind of settled down for that fight. But I mean, even still, we were all kind of having a party until
exactly.
The big fight came on. And it is that thing about the big fight, though, right? You want to settle down. Everybody's excited. Everybody's having a couple pops, like you said. It's too bad boxing hasn't had more events like this in the last decade. And part of the reason is, you know, Floyd's been the best boxer on the planet since the days of Klitschko really being really, really good after he won the belt as a heavyweight. Problem is nobody's been able to be, you know, Floyd's fodder, right? He hasn't had a really good...
Well, even that Pacquiao fight, right? They missed it by 3 years in terms of when people were really clamoring for it, right? And
totally. Yeah. I was thinking about this earlier today, too. You know, after, you know, the next day you're talking about the fight with people.
Yeah.
When he fought De La Hoya.
Yeah.
De La Hoya was too old. When he fought Canelo Alvarez. Again, he was too young. You know, he kind of caught him at the right time. He knows when to fight people, right?
Sure.
That being said, I mean, I know we'll kind of get into this. Maybe this will lead us into this a little bit more.
Yeah.
The whole thing with Conor fighting him, we'll all talk about it going, well, he's an MMA fighter. Of course Floyd was going to win. It was never in doubt. But he was finally a guy who could sell the fight and got people interested in a Floyd Mayweather fight.
Well, the numbers seem to suggest right now, and you're right, we'll get into this a bit, that... I mean, Floyd is always, he is a huge pay-per-view draw, but they didn't sell out the building, right? In terms of, now they way overpriced the tickets, whatever, but that's kind of what happens in 2017, but it didn't sell out. But in terms of the numbers, right, in terms of the way this got driven, Conor seemed to be the guy that was more the marketing. Everybody knows what Floyd does. When Floyd fights, that's a big deal. But Conor was the guy that brought the MMA crowd to give a shit. Because there's always been this thing, everyone knows, and you're probably more qualified to speak on this than me as someone who knows boxing better than I do, but the boxing community has always kind of looked down their nose a little bit on MMA, right? As being this, oh, it's that other savage thing that they... I think the MMA crowd is very similar in terms of your sport's dead, this sport crushed, like our sport crushed it a long time ago. And so... Those people won't order just a typical boxing fight. Maybe some of them would order the Pacquiao thing because it was another one of those water cooler big moment things, even though they had missed the boat on it. But Conor's the guy that brought this over the top kind of crowd to push these pay-per-view numbers, right? He became the more marketable part of this, right? And Floyd was done. He was retired and whatever. And Conor just kept calling him out and calling him out and calling him out. And, you know, here we are.
If there's one thing, you know, Conor McGregor can do, it's talk.
Yeah.
Right? He's definitely got the gift of the gab. In another world, he's fighting in WWE right now, right?
Well, he's Vince's wet dream, right?
Like that's the only other place that man succeeds in life, right? I mean, there's like so many things you can do with that.
That's going to happen someday before it's all.
Right?
Yeah, when he's too old to keep doing the UFC thing, he'll do a WrestleMania, right? He'll do a...
So I don't know if you caught the article. I think it was on The Ringer. I should send it to you, and you can throw it up on
the website. Yep.
It was a really cool article about the lineage of the Tough Enough, or not Tough Enough. Was it the Tough Enough battle in WWE?
That was their reality show. Oh no, the Brawl for All.
Brawl for All. That was it. So that's the, you know how they love, you know, wrestling fans or even boxing fans love to follow the true lineage of a belt.
Sure.
Because, you know, belts get moved around and stuff like that without true wins. So, the Brawl for All, the lineage went from Bart Gunn to Butterbean.
Yes.
And then Butterbean into MMA. At some point was actually re-won by another pro wrestler turned MMA fighter.
Really?
And somehow ended up with Dustin Poirier, who was another great fighter in UFC. And, you know, he got beat by Connor maybe 2-3 years ago. And so now it's Floyd Mayweather, and nobody will ever win it again. So it kind of retires with him now.
That's so weird.
Which is kind of cool.
But
the article was really great because it actually, you know, they talked a little bit about where it kind of come to, but really focused on actually like Bart Gunn and Steve Bartman and Dr. Death Steve Williams.
Well, so for people who don't know, the Brawl for All thing was a thing in the WWF in like 98 or 99, somewhere back in the Attitude era. And it was this thing where they put their toughest, like, you know, the guys who wrestle, some of them are tougher than others, right? It's a show. But they would put these guys in, and they ran this tournament where they told the crowd, and it almost kind of was this weird moment where when you go to a wrestling show, you have to suspend disbelief, right? And just go, I get it. This is theatrics. But they put this boxing tournament together with their wrestlers, and it was real. And, you know, they had these guys who were normally supposed to go out there and perform these fake wrestling matches, and they're actually boxing each other. And so Bart Gunn ends up winning the thing. He loses to Butterbean, who was an actual, you know, at WrestleMania, they go, well, if Bart Gunn's a tough guy, he won our boxing thing. Let's have him fight a real boxer.
Yeah.
And Butterbean fucked him up in no time. So I had no idea that that belt actually went somewhere, that title actually continued to live on. That's wild.
Somebody was actually following this, you know, in their basement, you know, in a flow chart somewhere.
Big time Brawl for All fan.
Some interesting stuff about, I mean, I think that was really happening when, you know, UFC was starting to gain popularity with a very, you know, small crowd anyways.
Yep.
So I think they were trying to jump into it. It was also around the time of ECW being a big thing. So there was definitely some push for it with WWF at the time. I didn't know that Bart Gunn had actually been, you know, pre-wrestling. He had actually been in some tough man fight competitions.
Yeah,
apparently.
I didn't know that either. Right? So,
And I remember watching it as a kid, you know, on Monday Night Raw and all these events, and remember thinking, oh, these guys actually really don't know how to fight.
Yeah.
But I can't remember them actually being able to take people down. But apparently that was something they could do. They could actually do takedowns and punch people on the ground.
Yeah, I don't remember. Well. Like, I was a big – at the time, I was a big wrestler. But my memories of this are vague. Like, I know it was set up for – you mentioned Steve Williams, Dr. Death, coming in.
Yeah.
He was supposed to plow through this thing because he was a renowned amongst the wrestling world tough guy, right? Like – and they just assumed he was supposed to blow through everybody, and that would set him up as like the toughest guy. And then they would go back to their fake matches, and it'd set him up to face whatever they were going to do, the Undertaker or whatever. But Bart Gunn knocked him out, which was for those of you who remember this kind of mid '90s. Right, Bart Gunn was one of the Smoking Guns. This tag team,
Smoking Gun.
They would come out in these jeans and cowboy hats and country music and whatever, and he was. And all of a sudden, he's in this real boxing match, knocking out people. So that's wild,
Bart
man.
Bart Gunn and Mr. Ass.
Yeah, the badass
Smoking
Billy Gunn.
Guns.
Yeah. We've gone a little off track, but that's fine, man. That's interesting. I had no idea. Definitely send that link over, and we'll share it with everybody. Give me your kind of overall first impressions at the fight. I can tell you here, we were watching it. I looked at Rob a couple times because he had said all along, A, that this was never going to happen, and that B, Connor was going to get absolutely smoked. After three rounds, you're going, interesting, right? Like, what were you thinking while you were watching this? You've got a better handle on the boxing end of it than I do.
So, I mean, to me, it was definitely interesting, and I was sitting in a room with two other guys who were on Floyd's side and about 14 who were cheering for Conor McGregor, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they were definitely loving it the first three rounds for sure. You know, Conor came – everybody knew he was going to come out like a fire under his ass, right?
Yep.
That was going to be his way of winning, right?
He had to
come out hard.
Had to.
He has a really long reach, which is, you know, you see how long his reach is when he, you know, they talk about the tail of the tape.
Yeah.
But once you see him in a boxing ring, you're like, oh, yeah, he's he's got like trees for arms, right? I mean, he just reaches so far at his size.
Yeah.
And that size differential really seemed to make a difference. And you could see Floyd, to be honest, actually the first round, and the guys in my house were screaming, you know, for Connor winning the round. And he definitely won round one. But you could see he was throwing jabs. He was throwing punches. And Floyd was just sitting back and going, okay, how far can you punch? He was just figuring out that range.
Yep.
Oh, you could see, agreed. What did Floyd throw? Like four punches in the first round? Or six, I think.
Six
was
what
right?
I saw, yep.
So he basically just sat there and went, okay, how far can you punch? Okay, let me figure this out.
And as you, I'm going to cut you off for a second, because you pointed this out the last time I had you on to talk about this. You said that's what would happen, that he's a student, that he would study it, that he'll take a couple shots early. I don't think you or anyone else expected that he would only throw six punches in the round.
No way. No way.
But he would, his whole thing here was going to have to be sit back and let's see what you got, right? Let me see how you're going to come at me. Let me see what angles you're going to use. Let me see how you're coming in. And I'll figure this out, because that's the way Floyd does things. So,
and that's exactly kind of how that first round, even the first three rounds, really kind of played out. You could see, I mean, there was never a point on Floyd's face where he was like in danger, and there was never a point where he looked frustrated. He ate a couple punches, and that's why I can't remember if we talked about it on air last time, but you know, Connor kept saying, you know, I'm going to knock him out.
Right.
His chin sucks. I'm going to knock him out. Listen, the guy's a professional boxer.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure having a good chin is part of the job description. Like when you're filling out your interview form, you know,
yeah. It's like when you show up for day one. It's like when you show up for day one to do porn. There's just certain things that need to be part of your anatomy, right? In boxing, yeah. It's a good chin. In porn, it's other things. You just don't show up if you think that may not be up to snuff, right? You just assume this guy's got it covered, right?
Yeah, he might be okay with his chin. That's all I'm saying, right?
Right.
Like,
sure.
He's been boxing since he's been seven. He's
right.
Okay.
He's not Glass Joe, right?
That's right. Yeah, he's not the first guy you fight in a video game. Let's just say that, right? So, I mean, you could see that. You could see him finding his range. Don't get me wrong. Connor had, you know, made his move. But you could see it as the fight went on. Connor went from being all out for 3 minutes in round one and two. And then it went down to being all out for a minute and a half. And then very quickly went down to a minute and then 30 seconds. And by round nine, Connor had about 15 seconds, sorry, of offense.
Yeah.
Until he was just gassed. And for all the talk about him being the younger guy and the more fit guy, you're asking an athlete who at most has to do 25 minutes
mm-hmm.
and typically only goes three rounds, right? So he's doing 15 minutes.
I take a little exception to that only in the sense that when Connor's doing 25 minutes at max, it's with a guy maybe leaning on him up against the cage or on top of him. It's a different type of, and I don't know this. I know boxing is a difference, but I think 25 minutes of a guy potentially choking me out and also kicking me and being on top of me and pushing me into the cage is tougher than 25 of punching. But now we're getting up to 28, 30, 33, right? And the minutes start to add up.
Start to add up, and you're still getting hit in the lungs.
Yep.
You're still, you know, your ribs are taking a beating.
Yep.
Your liver's taking a beating. He's also getting hit a lot more than he's used to getting hit. I think really the only comparable fight I could think about, I'm not, you know, very familiar with Connor's pre-UFC days.
Sure, no.
But in the UFC, the only fight that he was really taken down and put in any, you know, harm's way was Chad Mendes.
Yeah,
when he was supposed
true.
To fight Aldo, right?
Yep.
And Chad Mendes put him down on the canvas and took him down and was controlling them and hitting him. And
that's
ended
a good
up
point.
That fight. Was Chad Mendes gassed because he took the fight on like a week or two notice.
Right.
So he ended up gassing and then Connor took advantage of that. So, I mean, Connor definitely has a motor. You can't argue that. I just, you know, going into a 12-round fight or a 15, I can't even remember what they said it at, you just knew at some point he doesn't have he doesn't have that extra reserve to go into, right?
Yeah. Yeah, my
Where
thought...
Floyd's just always done that in his life.
And especially recently, right? I know he'd been off for 2 years, but his last pile of fights were all... You knew they were going the distance, right? So he's used to doing that.
Yeah.
You know, my thought kind of becomes... I don't understand, and I think part of this is... look, there's no question in my mind, and I'm not even going to sit here and try and argue with it because there's no argument to be had. Floyd won this fight. There's no question about that, okay? But I don't know what these particular judges were doing. I know what I thought. I know what we all thought sitting around my living room. I know what I've read in a pile of different papers and reviews and stuff this morning. I got, you know, there were a lot of people who had that at 86, 85. I can see 87, 84. I can even see 87, 83. One of those judges had it at 89, 81, and one had it at 89, 82. That was ridiculous, man. Because to me, there's no question. As you said, Connor was starting to slow down in the third round, but he took all three of those first rounds.
He definitely won the first three rounds. Yep. I thought round four was up in the air.
Sure.
And then the rest were Floyd.
Yep. I had everything for me. I had everything after round three going to Floyd, but that, like you said, that round four is probably a coin toss, right? But I'm not super passionate either way on that. But to me, that was Floyd starting to turn it around a bit. I think some of those judges went in. He were in a boxing thing, and then the honor of boxing is on the line, and they went in. I'm not saying that there was any kind of funny business because Floyd made sure that wasn't going to matter anyway. He finished the guy.
Yeah,
but. Those judges, for me, went in thinking Floyd knows how to outbox him. If you gave any of those first three rounds to Floyd, it's because you just expected that would be what would happen coming in, right? Go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off. I was just going to say, you know, it was almost like when you know, we're all more accustomed watching UFC fights because they're on once a week, right?
Right.
It's a little bit like when you have a champion.
Yep.
It was almost like they were giving Floyd the benefit of the doubt of already being the champion.
Yep.
That you have to, you can't, you know, to beat the man, you got to beat, you know,
you got to finish him.
Beat the man, same thing.
Yeah.
You got to show that you're that much better. You can't make it questionable.
Yep.
Connor had to clearly outclass him.
Right.
And I do think these guys were also going in with clouded minds. Let's not joke around with that, right? They're boxing judges in a boxing ring, and there's a guy trying to take down boxing, essentially. So they're going to go in a little clouded.
They're fucking golden goose, right?
100%. And I don't think we can discount that at all. The only thing I would say about it is judging in boxing, I mean, you have to make contact. And what we see as fans, we're seeing Connor go out there and throw these punches. Some of the GIFs, you know, online are showing today and on Twitter and stuff like that. They're showing some of those jabs that Connor was throwing.
Yeah.
And he wasn't actually hitting him, right? He was just kind of grazing him.
Oh, it's
so
true.
You got to think to some of those judges, they're like, not counting that one, you know? They just discounted that a little bit.
At the end, on some independent places that I was reading, Floyd had, you know, whatever they were calling it, you maybe have a better handle on it, but in terms of damaging strikes as opposed to just strikes, right, or damaging punches, Floyd was double triple the amount of that one hurt, right? Like, instead of just landing a, you know, Connor is known as a big time striker in MMA, but going out and doing that in the boxing world, you know, Floyd was hitting him pretty hard a couple of times.
Very different. And did you catch the pre-show at all with Sugar Ray and Dominic Cruz?
I didn't, no.
Okay, so that was part of that Fox pregame. Very interesting. I mean, everybody was – they had GSP on for a bit. They had Dana White on for a bit. And everybody was, you know, selling the fight.
Sure.
Whether they were taking one side or the other.
Yeah.
But, you know, saying, you know, everybody's got a chance to win this fight. Just before Sugar Ray got off air, because he was actually calling some of those pre-fight matches.
Yeah.
So before he got off air, they asked him, you know, who's going to win and why do you think? So he started talking about the different style of punching in MMA versus boxing. And he made a very I mean, it's Sugar Ray Leonard, so you're going to listen to him. He might be the best.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a top two boxer in the ever, right? So he made a very good point about just the lines of punches that boxers throw are a little bit more direct and they snap a lot better. It has to do with the stance that boxers have versus MMA fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And how with MMA fighters, excuse me, they tend to be, they're not intentionally loopy. And to you or I watching it, they don't look loopy.
Right.
But to a boxer, they're like, well, that's so inefficient. They're
coming in wide. Yeah, yeah.
It's slow. You can see it coming. And he said, you know what? As good as Conor is, it's just not going to matter. Right. Like Floyd's going to see this and he's going to pick him apart. And that was the only time Dominic Cruz got upset. And he's like, well, no, it's because, you know, we got to watch for kicks.
Well, that's it. It's a different type of guard. It's a different type of stance, right? And you're guarded against a lot of
that. That's fine. And
sure.
And there's definitely some merit to that. But, you know, as I'm watching with my buddies, I'm like, Conor McGregor's been throwing punches like this for years.
Right.
He's not going to just snap out of it after a 6-week training camp and
start throwing
punches.
Well, we were seeing that, right? With those hammer fists a little bit. And, you know,
he kept grabbing them.
Yep. Yep.
Throwing rabid punches.
Yep.
And you could, I don't know if you caught this at all, but Conor looked like he was about to fall forward half the fight. You could see he wasn't as balanced. So even when he was winning those first three rounds, one of my buddies put a lot of money on the fight and he was starting to get a little worried. You know, he was starting to get worried because he put a lot of money on this fight. And he's like, oh, man, you know, Conor's looking a lot better than I thought. And that's all I pointed out to him. I'm like, he's on his front toes. He's not balanced. He looks like he's going to fall over because it's just a much different stance than he's used to. So you could tell he was an amateur boxer watching him even when he was winning the fight.
Yeah.
So to me, there was never, you know, back to the initial point there of our conversation, it never looked to me like Conor was going to win the fight.
So at no point to you, even in after watching him win those first three rounds, there was no part of you going, huh, I wonder, right? Like I.
No. And I mean, to me, what I thought was, wow, he's better than I thought.
Right.
And
I think most of us were thinking that. Yeah.
Right? He's making this competitive.
Yep.
And you know what? He could stand in a boxing ring with a top 10 guy.
Right.
You know, and if he's fighting a top 10 guy, maybe he even wins on points.
Sure.
But again, going after a guy,
maybe
mind
the best
you,
ever.
A guy 2 weight classes below him and retired, you know, best in the world or not. I mean,
true.
He's an older guy who's retired, who hasn't been training. And his 2 weight classes underneath, and he still couldn't beat him. But that being said, the guy showed up. The only thing I really didn't like, I got to say, is he was out on his feet.
So that was going to be my next question to you is, let's talk about the finish, because I took a little exception to what you had on Facebook there after the fight, something along the lines of Conor needs to thank that referee for saving his life.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so I didn't feel that way. Now, it was clear at that point, it was clear through round 9, probably even late in round 8, Floyd had taken over and Conor was out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
What I do think, and we referenced this a little while ago and you brought it up in the UFC, you got to finish the champ, right? In this case, I get it. Conor's the new guy. He's not a champ in their world. To me, he hadn't been knocked over once yet.
I think
Conor deserved to be knocked down once before you ended it. Because there was a lot of times in those first couple rounds, while Floyd is feeling out Conor, Floyd's not returning fire. He's not counterpunching like he normally would, right? That's not because he's out of it. That's not because he's feeling it out. He's checking out his thing. Later on, I get it. Conor is fatigued. Conor is being hit hard. But it's not like it was unprecedented, right? There was times where Floyd wasn't returning fire like Conor wasn't now. I get it. Conor was beat, but I think he deserved – he wasn't going to last another couple rounds and go the distance like he was saying in his press conferences he deserves to get to the end. I don't think that – but he's got to get knocked down once. I think he's earned that, right, with the fight that he's put on.
I mean, nobody's going to disagree on that point, right? I'm going to give you an alternate perspective on that
sure,
in a second.
Please.
And if I get on a rant like I usually do, just remind me to come back around to it. I rant enough and I've had too many beers today.
So all right. Yeah. Yeah.
I might get more ranty than usual. I think we got to take that in context of the fight ending though. Right. I mean, again, going from a UFC fan background, it's, are you defending yourself? Are you defending yourself? And there's a difference between being defensive and defending yourself and not returning fire and being alert and your head movements, your body movements. So definitely those first three rounds, there was, I think it was round three or four, Connor had him up against the corner. And, you know, he was you know, throwing his punches and the crowd was excited. And Floyd was just sitting back and just being defensive in a boxing strategy, right?
Yeah.
He was moving, his head was moving, his hands were up all times. That's the other thing, right? So,
well, it's true.
Round it was seven, round eight, round nine, where I was cheering for it to end because I had money on Floyd winning in nine. I was really pissed.
Okay.
I found a good line and was going to win a lot of money.
So here's Maddie's real motivation, people. Now we're getting down to it.
100%. Full disclosure, I wanted him to win at nine. I had that pegged.
Okay.
So I was pissed when the bell went. But, you know, going from round nine into round 10, Connor has his hands down.
Yep.
He doesn't have any head movement going on. And in that middle of the 10th round before the stoppage, he wasn't moving. He was a punching bag. And to put it into like another context, to me, it looked like when Rory McDonald fought BJ Penn, we're going back maybe 2 years now.
Right.
And BJ, they didn't want to call it because it's BJ Penn. And like we said, you got to beat the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Rory McDonald just sat there and was punching him and looking at the ref going, anytime. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah. No,
what do you
true.
Want me to do here? I'm just hurting this guy's career at this point, right? Now, obviously, it wasn't that bad at this point.
Right.
But Connor was out on his feet.
I agree with you.
I think they could have let it go another 30 seconds and let him get knocked down.
Yep.
I think they could have just actually given him a standing 10 count.
Yeah.
Well, actually, when I saw the ref step in, I thought, oh, it's a standing 10 count coming up.
Now, there was some modified rules for this thing. Was that even still a possibility?
It should have been.
Because they said there was no eight count, right? There was, and going into when they put those rules up on the screen, there was a couple things a little different than normal. So I don't know if the standing 10 was still in or not.
And maybe I missed that. I could have very well missed that,
right?
To be honest with you. But that was actually my initial reaction was, okay, cool, standing count, and then we're going to restart it.
Sure.
Which wasn't going to make a difference, but
no, the fight was over at that point. I understand.
It was over. My alternate perspective on this, you know, as you know, a lot of people were upset about that maybe quick ending on the fight. As we started talking about it, I started thinking, okay, this is a split promotion, right? We got Showtime, Money Team, and UFC on the other side.
Yep.
And I started thinking, well, nobody really here wants to see Connor really get beat down. And maybe it was, you know, back room, they're thinking, okay, if he's in that much danger, we're stopping the fight. Because for UFC, he's their cash cow, right?
Yep.
You can't let him get knocked down.
It's an interesting point.
And knocked down again. So in this case, he gets beat. He was supposed to get beat. He can say, hey, I wasn't really beat.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just,
yeah.
You know, the...
I just go back to what I said. To me, you got to let him get knocked down once. If he'd been down once in like the seventh round and then you did this in the 10th round, I'd go, okay. The guy's used to fighting, right? He's used to taking blows. He's used to what I get it. Once you're defenseless and what... I don't buy anything Connor was saying at the end in terms of just being tired. I was just a little floaty. What did he say? Right?
Yeah, like
I was just none of that. No, you were getting fucked up. Yeah.
What does that mean, you gypsy?
Yeah, we all get like that, man. I've had a couple of beers and now I'm just fatigued. I'm not beat. Don't throw me out. I'm all right. Just to stagger a little.
How many times was that line used at the bar? Right,
yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. To me, like I said, I'm not sitting here saying that Connor was going to make some kind of comeback if he'd let it go. I'm not saying that the fight was still there for Connor to have. I just felt like he had earned the right to, you at least got to knock me over. at least once, right? Now, maybe that's more my MMA thing, right? Where I'm at least still standing here. I get that he might have been knocked loopy, but, you know, I'm used to seeing something a little more, right? And I don't know. I didn't love the finish. I'm fine with the result. I didn't love the finish.
I don't think anybody was really good with that finish, because I think everybody, whether you're on one side of the fence or the other, or you're just a casual fan, you want to see other... Well, if it's going to be a TKO winner, you want to see a knockdown. You yep. want to see the guy go down. It just, it seems right.
Yep.
In the
it's
sport.
It's a fight. Like,
that's exactly it, right? Like, you want to see somebody go down at yep. the end of it, as bad as that is to see.
Yeah, of course.
That's the point of the event, right?
You mentioned a second. Said, yep, go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, like, the Gervonta fight before that.
Yeah.
Even that finish was very anticlimactic. Yeah. We were all like, what just happened? Is he disqualified? Is the other guy good? What happened? Like,
yeah, that was weird.
Wasn't very again, that was the first time he got knocked down. And you're like, what happened? It was just a very weird kind of ending to two fights. Unfortunate. In both fights, the right guy won.
Yep.
That being said, yeah, a little anticlimactic as a fan, right?
I wonder if you noticed, because this got a lot of talk around here while we were watching. Look, this is clearly, as you said, it was co-promoted by the UFC and by Showtime and Mayweather Promotions and whatever the fuck they're calling it, right? But once you got down to it, this was Conor fighting on Floyd's turf, and he knew that going in. Everybody did. What was really interesting to us, and there was a lot of talk about it before the when they're standing there before the fight and the ref's explaining the rules to them, the referee is only looking at Conor. Not once did he turn his head to Floyd. He's, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're not going to do this.
That's hilarious.
He's only just staring right at Conor the entire time. Like, if you go back and watch it, because I did, in preparation for the show, I went back and watched the fight again today, and I'm still just laughing at this ref just staring at Conor, telling him the rules of this fucking thing. So it was awesome.
Maybe that ref had the that prop bet on if Conor was going to throw a kick. That's all I can think
Man,
of.
Man,
you know?
It was just, like, and he kept getting it on. Now, he should have, because Conor threw a couple of hammer fists, and like you said, he was leaning on him a lot and these sorts of things. So I understood that. But just before it even started, this was just, okay, buddy, here's what we do in this game, not your game. So that was really interesting to watch.
As you say that is one thing that I was getting a little annoyed with, was the little rabbit punches, the little hammer fists that he was throwing. I get it once or twice. I mean, just...
Well, some of it's very reflexive, right? I'm used to doing this.
And I get that, and maybe the ref was just like, all right, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. But he kept saying, you know, okay, don't do it, don't do it. I'm like, at some point, you gotta take points away at some point.
Well, someone said that here, right, was the, you know, the ref keeps getting involved. He wasn't getting involved this much. He keeps telling him to stop, keeps telling him, well, yeah, Connor's breaking the rules, right? So he's got no choice but to...
You might want to tell him to stop.
Right. So... what do you think is next? There was some questions asked in the post-fight press conferences. I do think at some point he will box again. I don't think it's necessarily next. I think he maybe goes back. There's been some talk on the doing a trilogy fight on the Diaz thing. It's going to cost a lot of money to get him to box again, because now he's established himself as a not necessarily as a top end boxer, but as a top end draw, right? In
draw,
terms of
that's it.
And then at the end of the day, that's what this whole fucking thing was about, was making money, and they'll come knocking again to make some more. And he'll be up for it. So, but do you think at this point he goes back to the UFC, and especially after what's happened here with John Jones, they need him bad, right, as a draw on their end?
Do you remember after that after the first Diaz fight, maybe it was the second one, part of the holdup was that he wanted a part of the company, not the pay-per-view buys, not the fight purse. He wanted a part of the company.
Well, I think George tried to do that at one point too, and then they told him no, right?
Now, they told Conor no, and then he threw his big hissy fit, right? And that kind of led to some bad blood for about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, he went from making a couple million dollars on a fight
to like $100
to $100 million on a fight. How do you get him back in an MMA ring?
Yeah.
That's my question to you, right? Yeah. Because how do you go from a minimum wage job to earning $50 an hour?
Yep.
And then going back to it, not going to be easy. So what do you have to do to get him back in the ring? At some point, he's getting back in the octagon.
Yep, I think so too.
But this is also a guy, and we talked about this last time on the pod, he's never really defended anything. He didn't defend his belt in Ireland. He hasn't defended a belt in the UFC.
Yeah, he's just got that big personality, right? That he talked people into believing he was going to win this fight last night, right?
That's it.
Those press conferences, man, those were absolutely well done, because he told the world, not only am I up for this, I'm taking him out in the first three or four rounds. And then when they moved to the 8-ounce gloves, he went down to two rounds. Like, he talked people into it.
And he's so, you know what it is? He's got so much confidence in himself that you buy into it as a fan.
Of course, yeah.
And even me, as a boxing fan, who was clearly like, I'm throwing money on Floyd. This is insane.
Right.
At times this past week, watching all of the circus, I'm like, oh, maybe he has a chance.
Right.
And had to continually talk myself out of it. And I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah.
Why do I think an amateur boxer has a chance against the best boxer on the planet?
Well, because none of us would be talked into thinking the opposite was true. Right? Like, that Floyd's not lasting a round in the UFC.
Yes.
But for some reason, just that confidence and just the way Floyd talks, he talked everyone into believing that he could go the other way and it'd be fine.
Which is just, I mean, that's the gift of the gab,
how
I guess,
you sell
right?
a fight, right?
I mean, he's great at that. And I got to think that, I don't know if you caught this, it was brought up by one of the news agencies this past week. One of Dana White's interviews this past week, he was wearing a shirt that said Zuffa Boxing. And as we know, Zuffa sold UFC to that Chinese conglomerate.
Yeah.
Owned by about, you know, a million different people.
Wow.
So, I mean, even
I didn't
though they
see that,
I think the Fertittas and Dana definitely, but I think the Fertittas still might have like a couple shares within the UFC.
Okay.
I don't think they completely sold off.
I know Dana does.
Dana definitely does, for sure.
Yeah.
And these are guys who were traditionally boxing guys.
Yep.
They started all as boxing guys. So it kind of caught everybody's, or at least a couple people's eyes, that he was wearing this odd shirt. Like, why would, that shirt's clearly never been made.
Right.
So why would you have it? And the thought was, well, if this goes well, maybe they start to go into the boxing realm. And if they do, well, can Dana save boxing, basically?
Yeah. Wow.
And so at least, you know, if you're asking me where my bet would be what Conor McGregor does next, I think he probably fights Molinari, the guy he had the sparring session with that went viral with the
Molinari.
With the push down and the knockout and all that sort of stuff. He's another guy who's been retired, mind you.
Look at this fucking guy. I'm just going to fight old retired guys.
He's just, you know, a 27-year-old picking on all the guys, the old guys at the YMCA at this point.
Love that. The legend killer.
Right, exactly. wait for the RKO on Jake.
Exactly,
Snake, right?
Man. Like, that's going to be awesome.
Did he just take out Sergeant Slaughter next? Like, what's going on? Who's next on the list?
That's interesting. I mean, you think he's boxing again before he's back in the octagon?
Only because of all the stuff that happened.
A fight with Molinari, not, I mean, probably more money than he would make in the octagon, but not going to be close to the Floyd money.
No, I mean, nothing's going to be close to the Floyd money unless you have another super fight somehow.
Right.
With, I mean, unless he could convince Canelo or Triple G to get in the ring with him.
Well, are they not facing off next month, the two of them, right? So they'll be
September 16th, which is the actual big fight of the year. So, I mean, they're clearly already going to do that. But if you don't think they're both looking at this going, huh, that's a lot of money for fighting an amateur fighter. Could I do this?
Right.
I would find it hard for those guys to do it because they're still in the prime of their career.
The loser might.
But yeah, could he be, you know, could he convince another retired boxer to maybe fight? Maybe. and we know we're all going to buy it because it's McGregor, right? Yep. Everybody's going to sign up.
Well, we just saw that. We just saw, right, that it'll
sell.
And
really, who does he fight in UFC? Like, I don't know. Does he come back and fight, I'm totally dropping the guy's name, but the guy who wears the funny hats all the time into the ring. What's his name?
He's got the big, long, like, Brazilian name. I saw that drop last night. There was a couple names being thrown around anyway. I couldn't remember, but they're getting pretty.
I'm going to say it wrong, but Nogdamedov,
that's,
I think it is.
Yeah, okay. That's the name that they were thrown around last night. I don't know how to properly pronounce it either. But they're getting pretty liberal in the UFC in terms of, as they run out of names, in terms of waiving weight classes, right? Like, what happens? You know, you'd have to find a funky catch weight kind of thing. But, you know, what about George after Bisping?
I mean, they've talked about that.
Yeah.
That was one of the names that Conor kept throwing around.
Yep.
I mean, one of the reasons Conor never defended, was it the light? I'm trying to even remember which
title
it was now.
He's got a couple of them.
But the 145 belt was, right. He just can't make that, right?
Right.
It was hard for him to make it the time. And
hey, you probably noticed during the weigh-ins that his people looked relieved that he hit 153. Like, there was talk all week he wasn't going to make it. He said all along, I'm a professional, I'm going to make it. He said in the post, you know, weigh-in interviews, I was always going to make it, I'm a professional, that's what I do. His people looked, oh, thank God, right, that he
very,
got under.
Yeah. Very relieved.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to stop you for a second. The guy we're thinking of is Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Yeah, okay. I can't believe that name wasn't right on the tip of our tongues.
Just rolls off your tongue.
But yeah, that is the name that was being kicked around, that it would be him or Diaz. To me, those aren't huge. Now, I also don't think he can wait for George, right? George is going to fight in November, and then he'll need another however many months off, and he might be the middleweight champ.
Might be a title fight again, right? And now you're talking big money again, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's going to pay to see GSP and Conor.
But now you're probably talking about March, April. Like, is Conor going to sit
like
that
March,
long?
April, yeah. Yeah. He's got $100 million.
Yeah, it's true.
Right,
all
now,
of a sudden,
so.
he's doing all right.
He doesn't need to be too active.
That's true, man. That's true.
He could be on that yacht they kept talking about.
Yeah.
Prelims.
So this, this kind of, a lot of people from both sides looked down on it. It was being talked about as kind of a freak show or a sideshow. At the end of the day, for me, what I said before the fight started, what I said to Rob is I fully expected one way or another Floyd to win. But if it had gone the distance, and like this was before the fight, that would be a win for MMA. It might not be a win for Conor, but it would show MMA in a we can hang. These are top guys as well. To me, it didn't go the distance, but Conor acquitted himself. He didn't embarrass himself. He comes out a bigger star than he went in. And to me, he probably fought better than most people expected him to and was picked apart by, a better fighter. What are your kind of final thoughts on this? Was it as much of a joke as you expected it to be? It sounds like it kind of went exactly how you predicted it would. What do you walk away from this with?
Well, I think number one, I should have put more money on Floyd. That's my first mistake. I didn't quite put enough on it. And immediately went out and spent the money I had won.
The Tall Can Audio Network does not condone gambling.
Yeah. Yeah, wait for the spinoff on Tall Can Audio.
There you
just talk betting for the NFL.
Yeah.
Season. Now we're talking. That's the next spinoff coming.
I can't wait.
Listen, Floyd, Conor definitely made it more of a fight than anybody thought he was going to. Any true fan thought he was going to anyways. Kudos to him. I mean, he has a boxing background. Amateur, still counts. He was better than I thought. I've never understood the need for boxing fans and MMA fans to both argue about who's better fighters.
Right.
And I say, and maybe I have that third opinion because I'm a fan of both.
Well, there's not many of those people.
I've been watching both for, you know, 25 years.
Yeah.
But they're two completely different things. We would never – and maybe you can remember this, but I remember at one point Ally Afridi, who used to be at one point the fastest skater in the NHL.
Well, the hardest slap shot in the NHL.
Hardest slap shot, but I think he was also the fastest skater at one point.
Okay.
Because whoever it was, his name's coming to head to my mind right
sure.
now anyways.
All right.
And he, you know, he skated one lap against a Olympic speed skater, and I can't remember who that was. And to nobody's surprise, it wasn't close.
No. No.
Two different sports. Two different skill sets.
Yeah.
MMA and boxing are two different things. You never hear about kickboxing fans going, well, a kickboxer could beat a boxer, or a kickboxer could
Well, that's where the UFC started, right? Was let's see what the ultimate fighting style is.
100%. And it's evolved from there. I mean, that's it initially started, right? And that's the whole Gracie thing. They had sumo wrestlers, stupid as that is, in there.
Yep.
But I mean, it's a completely, it's evolved now, right? It's a completely different sport. You know, who is it? Dan Hardy tweeted out last night, oh, well, you know, Connor went 10 rounds. Floyd wouldn't go around in MMA. Well, of course he wouldn't.
No.
Of course he would. He doesn't know how to do how to defend a takedown.
Well, you'd give him a 6-week training camp too. And
and it wouldn't matter because we all saw Randy Couture.
And James Toney.
And James Toney, a single leg takedown, which is like the most embarrassing thing.
Yes.
He basically, you know, pushed him over with two fingers and submitted him or beat him or whatever he did. And like, to me, that was a circus, right? That was a circus of a fight.
Yeah.
And really, that almost seemed like Dana White trying to prove that MMA is legitimate.
Well, as a former boxing guy, right? He wanted to, it seemed like, hey, yeah, look, I'm over here now. Because he'd kind of been ostracized from that community a bit. And here I am. Here's what I've built, you know. And
maybe that's just the boxing, like those old school boxing mentality. And that's the problem, right? A lot of these boxing guys are old dudes, right? They're just old guys who are bitter that they're not making the money they used to.
Yep.
They don't have the cash cows they used to. And
well, that was one of the disgusting things about the whole thing is how many different, during the weigh-ins and during the all-access and during everything, did they even mention that Floyd is a disgusting human being who's got like, gone like 65-0 on the domestic front, right? In terms of how many.
Oh, gosh.
Like,
yeah.
But they'll never mention it because he's their cash cow. The boxing community needed him to, you know, so we don't bring that up because he's their boy. And there's a lot of that on both sides, right? Connor doesn't have the reputation for that kind of shit, but, Dana wanted badly to prove that his guy could hang with those guys, because he is an old school boxing guy still at heart, and
he really is. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it. That's his background, right? That's how you get how you would have gotten into the fight game 30 years ago. It had to have been boxing, right?
Yeah.
Again, to me, I mean, to MMA fans, like a pure MMA fan, I think it legitimizes it.
I do too.
To me, it never really had to.
No. That's a good point.
I mean, you know these guys, you know, GSP, you know, has been training with Freddie Roach for probably close to a decade now.
Yeah.
I mean, he trains in boxing rings. Freddie Roach is going to take him out to the ring in New York against Bisping this time.
Right.
They're two distinct, art forms, essentially. And they don't need to be who's the best. You know, how are they better? Because they're apples and oranges. You can't compare a sport where you can use kicks and one where you can't. You know, it's two different things. When I was
choked
doing the,
out
like
armbarred and
exactly, and like I sparred with a kickboxer one time, and like they just threw a kick in for fun, kind of like everybody was joking about Connor.
Sure,
and you got no idea what to do. You're just like, oh, I'm just watching your hands.
Oh, hey, I'm defenseless down everywhere underneath that. Right?
Like, yeah. Don't kick me in my legs. That sucks, right? Like, don't do that.
Hey, that's we were just having fun here, trading jabs. Right. Come on.
And the opposite is true too. If you're just a boxer and you're just watching head movements and you're just watching the shoulders, I mean, Connor really didn't stand a chance. You could have let Connor train for a year; it still wasn't going to matter. to a guy who only does that for 35 years, right? Both sports are legitimate. Both sports have great athletes. I think at this point, I hope this puts it to bed and people stop worrying about this and just accept, you know, the athletes as
that's not
great
happening.
Athletes.
That'll never happen. It'll be a debate forever.
Yeah.
Because those all the MMA people will always be able to say, yeah, okay, you managed to get by Conor in 10 rounds. You wouldn't get through one round in MMA, right? And that'll always be the thing is, well, in our world, you wouldn't. And Floyd would be an idiot to ever agree to it.
Oh, my gosh.
So you just won't. And so they'll just any boxer who's ever come into that has always been fucked up. And it looks pretty apparent that it's going to be the same the other way. So,
did you see Floyd's legs? He can't throw a kick. There's no way he's throwing a kick.
He's lucky he can still throw a punch.
Gosh.
He didn't box. He didn't spar through the last like 3 weeks or 4 weeks of his training camp. His hands are so fucked. But, man.
Well, combination his hands are so bad after 35 years of boxing. And half that he was just at the strip club too late every night.
That's true, man. Did you watch those All Access, man? He's living a pretty decadent life, right?
I don't know if you heard that. I mean, he owned a strip club in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Right?
He talks about the women in it like collectibles, right? You're like, oh boy.
He went there every night this week.
Oh, fuck.
And gosh, who was I can't remember which reporter I was listening to on a podcast right now off the top of my head, but he was saying he went to the strip club to see if Floyd was gonna show up. And the reporter said, I left at 1 a.m.
Yep.
Because it was getting late for me. So he went home and he got a text message from a colleague who was still there and at 2 o'clock. And he said, Floyd just rolled in.
Oh, my God.
So how serious was Floyd taking the fight?
Yeah.
He was too busy worrying about, is his strip club making money?
Aren't we all?
Gosh.
Man, it was,
you want to know how to make money.
It's like I put on our Twitter last night, for all the debate that went into it, all the my sport versus your sport, it was fun, man. Whether it was just an excuse to have a party, that's part of it, right? But Conor acquitted himself. It was probably, you know, more even, if you want to call it that, than I expected. It was more entertaining than I expected. It was a good fight. It wasn't necessarily a great boxing fight, but it was what it needed to be to make you feel like, yeah, all right, I didn't get totally ripped off on this, right? So we had a good time with it. It'll be one of those things. Monday morning, you people will be listening to this on your drive into work. It's going to be water cooler talk, one of those cultural things.
100%. And to put it into context, like you said, it wasn't a great boxing exhibition, let's say. But comparatively to the Pacquiao Mayweather fight a couple years ago, which was great boxing.
Right.
All I heard from people was how bad that fight was because they're casual, not even casual boxing fans, right? I mean, it's hard to find boxing fans these days.
Right.
Everybody, I think, is going to leave going, that was a good fight. Yeah. That was enjoyable. It was entertaining. Yeah, and hopefully that gets people, you know, if not into boxing, just into the fight game a little bit more regularly, right?
Yeah, it's all about how you want to contextualize it. Was it a great boxing match? No. Was it a good fight? Yeah, it was a good fight. That was entertaining, right? So really, what else are you looking for on a Saturday night, right? Bunch of people throw in $20 over to the fight and have a good time with it. So,
well, that's it. It was a good night, and I hope everybody enjoyed it. It sounds like you boys did out in Ottawa.
For sure we did, man. And we're getting ready to November is going to be big. We got GSP happening, and then you're coming up here for the Grey Cup. So
that's right.
It'll be good times there. Appreciate this because I know you have proclaimed yourself the fight guy. And so appreciate you jumping back on and helping us break this down post-fight and provide something to the listeners for their Monday mornings.
Well, it's a better title than Captain Blowhard. That's all I'll say.
Can't take that away from you. That's true. That is Tall Can Sports 161, and we'll see you all down the road.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.